everyone. Welcome to season 4 of the iRealty podcast, formerly known as the Hennessy Box podcast. Here are your hosts.
Hi, I'm Brad Churchwell.
And I'm Jimmy Deep. We are the broker owners of RE/MAX iRealty Innovations.
Is blank condition no condition in a contract, or is it a condition without a deadline?
Today, we are talking about, what are we talking about today, Brad? Unconditional offers.
Yes.
But with a little bit of a different twist.
Yeah, or unused conditions in an offer is maybe a better way to put it.
That is a better way, yes.
So, I was on, as we often are, perusing social media. And a lot of you guys listening would be members of Calgary Realtors Facebook page.
Oh, I love that group.
Yeah. So you know what? Every now and again, there's some really good topics on there, sort of sprinkled in amongst the ranting and the complaining and all that stuff, that nonsense that is often on there, which is also at times pretty entertaining in itself. But anyway, this was kind of a rant a little bit, but it sort of started a conversation. And I think she genuinely wanted to know why. And the why is, why do agents cross out an initial conditions if they're not using them? Like if they're, rather than leaving them blank.
Right.
Which is probably the most common practice, you leave them blank. Occasionally you'll see somebody initial or cross out the condition completely and leave it blank. And so she kind of went on a bit of a rant about it because I think that it was a bit of a nuisance because it sounded like maybe she missed it and she had to go back and have her seller's initial, the missed
initials. Right.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, well, why do we do this? It's not used. Like nobody does that, blah, blah, blah. And the conversations, the comments started coming in and I thought it was a pretty interesting point, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? Actually, that's probably best practice, not the most common practice, but probably best practice to cross it out. And just to back it up, what was the question posed or the statement that somebody made was, or a question is an unused, a blank condition, no condition in a contract, or is it a condition without a deadline?
Right, because there's no check mark on there or anything of that That's sort. Right. It just says 8.1 financing, 8.2A.
8.2A,
financing. And then there's no check mark to say if this applies or not. It just goes straight into buyers will secure financing by
subject,
blank.
Yeah, this contract is subject to blah, blah, blah.
And we've always said before, in the absence of a date, the condition doesn't apply, but the question becomes, in the absence of a date, does that mean that that condition is there, but
without a deadline?
Without a deadline on there. That's very interesting. So we usually, we talked about this before, there's an unconditional, we have an internal form that's an unconditional offer disclosure form that we ask agents to sign, representing the buyers, right? To sign saying, A little bit of this, that they know that they're going in to the contract, into this offer with no conditions, and that they have sought independent legal advice, and that they know what it means, and they know what the risks are, and they accept those risks. But that's just a disclosure to the buyer saying, hey, buyer, me representing you as your agent have told you all these things and the risks that are associated with it. And that is, that's basically a CYA for us, right? For the agent.
The buyer can't come back and be like, whoa, I didn't know you could do a property inspection. Right. What's a property inspection?
But it doesn't address, what it doesn't address is what you're talking about is that.
Between the buyer and the seller.
Right. Does that exist? And that's a really good point.
Say what everybody thought was an unconditional offer and accepted, say in January, and possession was, you know, great, put a place up for sale, get an offer, all those things are blank.
Right.
Oh, great, we got an unconditional offer, they deliver a deposit, boom, sold. What if possession on, say, April 1st What if on March 27th, the buyer instructed their buyer's agent to submit a non-waiver on financing?
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to be like, well, that condition doesn't apply. But there's an argument that it might.
Well, what do you mean? There's just no deadline. I thought the possession would be the deadline.
Yeah, the only thing that is working in favor of not having anything in there is common practice. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just commonly known that if it's not in there.
But then common to the buyer, I'm a first time home buyer, or so it's only the second time I've done this in 15 years.
100%. They're like, well, we needed these conditions until infinity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking up this here, right? I'm looking up section eight right now in the residential purchase contract. It says a seller and a buyer will act reasonably and in good faith in trying to satisfy their own conditions, including making reasonable efforts to fulfill them, and B, pay for any costs related to their own conditions, right? And then under 8.2, it just says buyer's conditions. And then the buyer's conditions are for the benefit of the buyer and are, semicolon. So it stipulates that these are the conditions.
Yeah.
And then it just goes right into 8.2A, financing. The contract is subject to the buyer securing new financing not to exceed blank percentage sign.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have anything in there, does that mean that it's there or not? And I think
that's often left blank, and you still take it as the condition.
That's right. It's often left blank and the condition's there. So the only thing is, and I'll read the rest of this thing. Let's say 80% of the purchase price or blank percent of the purchase price from a lender of the buyer's choice, and with the terms satisfactory to the buyer before blank PM, blank M on blank 20, you know, supposed to be the date, condition day in brackets, in parentheses, the seller will cooperate by providing access to the property on reasonable terms. That's it. If you take that section 8.2 at like basically all of section 8, and if you have read that without anything filled in there, it could still technically say that that condition applies.
Yeah.
With just no time frame on it. So that is a very interesting question.
It is an interesting question. And as we'll both agree, neither one of us are lawyers, but this was something that came up in a course taught to realtors by a lawyer, a lawyer that's very, very involved in real estate.
Yeah. Very prevalent in our industry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he is teaching this practice of crossing it out and initially having both parties initial it for exactly the things we're talking about. And I honestly never gave it much thought. I don't think anybody really has.
People don't.
Yeah.
I haven't given it much thought.
Yeah.
Unconditional offers, I've left it blank. But I have to say that after we discuss this and looking at this going forward, I'm crossing them out.
Yeah, why not?
Like, I'm going to cross out the unused conditions.
You know, and there's people complaining on Calgary, the extra work and... Really? You're sending something for electronic signing. You're going to just cross something out and get one more initial.
Right.
That's about 3 seconds worth of extra work.
Yeah. And just going back to talking about like just being extra certain what a contract means. There is uncertainty if you left it blank. Just because it's normal practice and industry practice is that, it doesn't mean that you've explained it to your buyer or seller correctly. And when it comes down to it, the buyer and seller could then start suing each other and you about the conditions.
We've had a couple conversations in a row now that kind of revolve around the idea of best practice versus common practice. And we've just talked about two examples where common practice may not necessarily be best practice.
Right.
And this again, like our last conversation about written counteroffers as the best practice, although not the common practice, I think striking this out on an unconditional offer or unused conditions is the best practice, but it's certainly not the common practice.
I 100% agree.
It's kind of crazy, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah, I'm looking back at this again now, 8.2, and then it goes into 8.2b. Without a date in there, it specifically says, property inspection, this contract is subject to the buyer's satisfaction with a property inspection conducted by a licensed home inspector before, and it's blank date or whatever, mm-hmm. the seller will cooperate by providing access to the property on reasonable terms. There is nowhere...
This condition is null and void if not completely filled out. It doesn't say
that. Yeah, it doesn't say that. No. It doesn't have a checkbox to say the following conditions now form part of this contract, or is there's no...
there's no yes or no
There's option. No indication of, yes or no, or if this applies or if this doesn't apply. And so I would have to say that you would absolutely need to strike this out on the conditions that you're not using, including the seller's conditions.
Yeah, all unused conditions. Oh,
actually, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. 8.3 seller's condition is left blank. So it says the seller's conditions are for the benefit of the sellers and are, it's blank. Yeah. So you don't need to strike out 8.3.
So there's nothing specific there. Same with additional buyer's condition. There's nothing specific about that.
That's right. So additional buyer's condition 8.2D is the same. There's no specifics to
that. So those would have to be completed for them to apply.
To apply.
Otherwise they don't because they're just blank.
Right.
But the other,
A, B, C.
Yeah. Well,
financing. And condo docs.
Condo docs and a condo doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all written the same way. And I wonder if this was written to benefit the buyer or if it was just one of these things where...
I think it was
just
oversight.
kind of oversight.
Yeah. And then if challenged, has it ever been challenged? Has somebody, because you think of what's going on in the marketplace now, and you hear a lot of stories about unconditional offers that don't close.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's, somebody from out east that's, the market changed there, people were buying stuff that didn't sell their place for what they could or didn't sell their place at all and then had to default on their purchase. Somebody was reading over that contract, like in a desperate time, trying to figure out how to get out of this. Like I think anybody would if you found yourself in that situation.
Oh, for sure. And they'll just non-waive this sucker.
They call the realtor and the realtor say, well, no, it's unconditional. Like, what are you talking about? And like, but, then it goes back to lawful client instruction. If your client is telling you to submit a non-waiver,
you're kind of in a
bad spot.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I know this agent. This is going to be bad.
But, you know, like those things are happening now, right?
I mean, that goes to court and who knows. I think intent plays into it at that point. But I wouldn't want to chance it. I mean,
for sure.
Because it's the more you think about it and the more we look at those conditions, the more convinced I am that we should all be crossing those out.
I'm on board 100%. And that is our official advice to everybody in our office is that if you're not going to use it, cross it out.
Cross it out. And you know what? It's probably something that we'll address outside of this podcast.
Right.
With our agents we'll talk about it on one of our training sessions for those that are there. Send out an email, something, start that conversation and kind of get people, agents in the office aware of it. And I could see this becoming the norm. It was very interesting. I tried to find that thread on Calgary Realtors. We were a bit rushed, but I didn't see it. I don't know if it got removed or it got lost in the shuffle, but there was a lot of, like even the poster was like, oh, okay, well, no, that makes sense. Like her opinion definitely changed on it. And I think anybody reading that initially would have been, it's kind of dumb, but no big deal.
Right.
And then I think if you really read it and really thought about it, you're probably going to be where we are. That's kind of how it was for me. I read it. I'm like, big deal. Get them to initial. It's, unnecessary. It's redundant, But it's not. It's not.
I think it's absolutely required for you to be clear in this in this contract if you're not going to use the condition.
And why wouldn't you, I guess, is the question.
Right. Why wouldn't you just take that extra step and cover yourself? Yeah. And on top of that, I would still do the disclosure.
Strike fees are so annoying.
Yeah. Just put one full line right across 8.2 from A to D. Just strike it all out, one initial.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that. Or cross out, which is better, is cross out all of them. Cross out every single word out of in there. But
it's going to take like 45 seconds by the time I...
45 seconds. But yes, that is a very interesting topic. And you know what? I, throughout, 15, 16 years now, this is...
Never even thought about that.
You know, it's... You learn something new every day and you see, and you adapt to different things. But certainly that is our recommendation that you do that on top of the disclosure with your buyer, because that, that covers something completely different.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. That... So... Exactly. That covers the... Wait a second, you didn't tell me about this.
Yeah, wait a second.
Actually,
yeah.
Remember this? Yes, I did.
That's right. Or until this contract changes to having a selection of...
Where it's a little more black and white. Like, because that's...
This is interesting. It's very it's very gray. So we don't want to, we don't like to be in the gray.
And kind of surprising that it hasn't come up sooner, actually, when you think about it.
It really is.
If you actually stop and read it, it's like, oh, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, does it apply or does, is there no timing, right? Or do you, sorry, does it apply or do you have up until possession day?
Yeah.
Like, that's a tough argument.
I wonder if anybody's tried that. I wonder if anybody's tried to, like, their shit fell apart and they couldn't close and they tried that. I wonder if anybody has.
I don't know. I wonder.
Submit a non-waiver on financing.
That would be interesting, right?
You didn't have financing. No, yeah, I did. It's right there.
Yeah.
No deadline. Possession's a deadline.
Yeah, it says it's a part of the contract. We should ask, we should ask a couple lawyers and see if they've run by this. I doubt it, but we should ask.
Probably not, but if I was desperate and my back was against a wall, I would be worth trying.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you might win.
Of course. That's a, that's a smart move.
Then I'd sue the seller for dragging me to court, countersue them.
Lots of unconditional offers, especially as, especially in this market. There's lots of unconditional offers.
Ill-advised in many cases.
Yeah.
Desperate. I mean, it sucks. You lose 7, 10, 12 times writing offers, competing. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, we're presenting offers at 7. How many do you have? I got 22 so far.
Right.
You know, like...
Right.
Yeah, like how else are you going to compete? You know,
even on another thought, if you're submitting an unconditional offer and just to strike that out, let's say that you were competing with somebody else and everything was exactly the same. Possession day, price, both unconditional, everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one had had it all crossed out and initialed.
Yeah.
And you were just, that was it. Those are the only two that's left. And you're going to accept one of them. You would, you might possibly win because it's more clear.
Here's offer one, Mr. Seller. Here's offer two. Well, they got these all crossed out. How come they don't?
Right.
Well, this kind of means, basically means the same thing.
Yeah.
But why didn't they cross it out then?
Right.
Well, I'm just going to go with this one because for sure.
They know that it's unconditional.
You know, you do a foreclosure and that shit it's crossed out.
Right. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Anyway, that's going to be a short podcast for us today. Yeah,
good topic, though.
Yeah, you guys think about that. Review the contract. We're going to put out a message about this. And it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Something does come out of that group. That's extremely useful.
Yeah. You know what we need? That we need that. Remember back, or maybe I'm too old. Remember One to Grow On and then that. On TV.
Which one?
One to Grow On.
One to Grow On?
They teach you a little lesson.
Yeah.
And that's One to Grow On. Ah, no, man.
No, that's before the Did You Know?
Yeah, it is. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about.
I'm of the Did You Know era.
I know the Did You Know.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. Short one for us this week, but hopefully it was useful and you can implement it into your practice. We'll be looking for them.
Cool.
When it comes into the back end. So
all right.
Good luck. Happy selling.
Peace.
Later.